All right, so again, my name is Meg. I work for Starling Health, and we developed the Starling Bedside Communication System, and this is a patient-provider communication system for inpatient settings. Some disclosures to make. I do work for this firm called Starling Health, and therefore there might be a conflict of interest. And some objectives for today's presentation. First of all, I'll be talking about the impact that communication has on health outcomes, patient satisfaction, as well as patient experience. I'll also be talking about the potential that the Starling system has to improve communication, patient satisfaction, as well as nurse workflow efficiency. And in addition to that, I'll be talking about future directions for the Starling system that are aimed at improving communication and satisfaction experience. So a little bit about Starling Health. We are a subsidiary of a larger parent company called LanguageMate, based in New York. And LanguageMate has actually received about a dozen grants from the NIH's SBIR program to develop different softwares and technological solutions that bridge the communication gap between patients and providers in a variety of healthcare settings. So Starling is basically an offshoot of that, and what we focus on are bedside communication solutions. And we received a separate grant from the NIH just to develop this particular product. So what's the problem that Starling is trying to resolve? Well, there are over 24 million U.S. residents that have limited English proficiency, which I'll abbreviate as LEP. And what happens when you have LEP is that you have increased likelihood of misdiagnosis from your physicians. Oftentimes you receive incorrect treatment because a physician can't figure out what's wrong with you. They might also order additional tests because you can't communicate what's going on with your symptoms. And also LEP patients tend to have a longer hospital stay, about 1 to 2 days longer than their English-speaking counterparts. And what makes this worse is the fact that there's a language assistant shortage out there. So although hospitals are supposed to have professional medical interpreters and translation services on staff, unfortunately, a lot of them fall short of that. So what happens when you're an LEP patient is that you have a lot of difficulty communicating with your provider because of the language barrier and the lack of access to resources that you have there. In addition to that, there's a problem, or there's a growing emphasis in the healthcare system on value-based purchasing and performance of the actual facility and providers on their reimbursement rates from CMS. So there's a survey called the HCAHPS survey that's being administered by pretty much every hospital in the country now, and that measures patient experience, patient satisfaction, as well as perceptions of patient-centered care. So when you're an LEP patient, you tend to be less satisfied with the care that you receive from your providers, and that impacts HCAHPS scores. So therefore, for facilities that are dealing with high LEP populations, that can really affect their bottom line. And in addition, there's just, no matter what language you speak, there's just inadequate patient-provider communication across the board. A lot of facilities are actually implementing different communication training programs for either medical students or their current residents and staff to try to improve communication between patients and providers. And this is particularly impactful in minority communities just because of the different communication styles between various groups. So all of these different factors point to the need for point-of-care communication solutions at the bedside. And so Starling has tried to attack this problem from a technological angle. So what is the Starling system that I've been talking about? It's a tablet that's placed at the patient's bedside. You can see here that there are a bunch of language-neutral icons on there, but there's also text and audio in different languages. And it basically enables patients to ask for what they need at the bedside, regardless of what their language or literacy level is. So here's a picture of Starling being used at the bedside, and you can see it's mounted on an IV pole because we're using iPads, and we don't want them to walk away out of the hospital. So these request messages are sent to providers, and there's two different provider interfaces. One is another tablet that's usually placed at the central station, the nurse's station. And we also have a mobile application so that they can receive these request notifications at their hips, so they know exactly what the patient needs, regardless of where they are in the hospital unit. And what patients or what providers can do using these interfaces is either notify a patient that they're on their way, so that the patient, you know, feels comforted that someone has paid attention to what they need, assign their request to someone else if they're really busy, or complete it. And the complete task is very important because that's what removes that request from the queue. And if they don't remove that request from the queue, they can't, you know, their colleagues can't tell if someone has addressed that request or not. There's also an admin web portal for higher level administrators at the hospital to configure the system for that facility's specific needs or to run different reports on system usage. So we think that Starling has some potential benefits. We definitely think that it can impact patient satisfaction. by improving communication between patients and providers, by providing transparency to the request process, by reducing noise compared to the call bell, which is, you know, really loud and blaring throughout the entire unit, and also increasing privacy, because a lot of units use these intercom systems where they're kind of announcing what you need over the intercom, and if you need to go to the bathroom or something like that, you don't really want everyone in the unit to know. We also think that Starling can impact patient safety, both by reducing falls. If a patient knows that a nurse is on their way to help them out, they might be less apt to try to get out of bed and try to take care of the need themselves. In addition to that, we think that we can improve safety just by helping LEP patients express what they need very clearly and effectively to their provider. We also think that Starling can improve patient engagement by setting realistic expectations for when their request is going to be addressed, and as well as empowering patients to get involved in their care, to pipe up and tell the provider what exactly they need. So we're running two concurrent evaluations right now, and we're trying to see Starling's impact on the factors I spoke about earlier, as well as provider response time, workflow efficiency, and communication. So the evaluation is actually pretty new. We just started back in September. We collected some baseline observation data from the providers and also administered some satisfaction surveys to providers about the current call bell system and their current communication processes. About a couple weeks later, we installed the Starling system, went live, turned it on. Patients could use it starting then. Since then, we've been collecting system usage data, and we've been collecting some surveys from patients about their satisfaction with the system. Unfortunately, that data is not available today, but we do have some qualitative data to present to you. The pilot's going to last about 4 months, and we'll continue to collect data from providers and patients, as well as HCAHPS data from the facilities to see if we can impact those scores. So we have two pilot partners. They are complete opposites of each other. One is a huge academic hospital in New York City. We're piloting there in two units. One is a longer stay rehabilitation unit. People usually stay there for about 1 to 2 weeks. And usually at any given time, there's about 1 to 2 LEP patients there. So this is New York City. We do get a fairly high population. The other site is a cardiac post-op unit, extremely high turnover. The patients here only stay for a couple of hours, 24 hours at most. And usually at any given time you walk in there, there's at least 2 to 5 LEP patients. So they're serving a very diverse community. On the other hand, we're also piloting in a critical access hospital in West Virginia with one little unit. It's an acute care and med-surg unit that basically serves all the potential needs of the surrounding community, everything that you can think of. The average stay there is about 2 to 3 days, and it being rural West Virginia, they don't have a very high LEP population, but they are underserved in that they're rural and their patients tend to be very low income. A difference between these two pilots also is that the New York City location is conducting a formal evaluation. The West Virginia location is not, but they are testing the mobile device. So just to reiterate the baseline activities, we conducted some surveys with staff about their satisfaction with the current call bell system and current communication processes. We also conducted some workflow observations, and what that entailed was me and my research associates timing providers and seeing how long they took to respond to patients' requests, as well as doing some detailed observation on how they communicated with patients. So results from the staff surveys, you can see that about half of the providers did not feel that the call bell was good for holding staff responsible and accountable for patients' needs. Obviously, there's no way to back up whether a provider actually completed a request or not with a call bell, so I think that's what they were speaking to there. About a third of the providers were not satisfied with the call bell system, and over half, 63%, did not think that the staff were well prepared to communicate with LEP patients. So all of this, you know, just shows that the providers are aware that they could be providing better care, particularly to the LEP population and to all patients in terms of meeting their needs. Some of our observational results, the top things that patients need when they're in a patient setting seems to be assistance with going to the bathroom, pain or pain medication, as well as help with mobility issues such as getting in and out of bed. The average response time is about 4.5 minutes. Some other salient observations we noticed, the intercoms are really loud, they're not private. Most of the tasks are usually completed by lower skilled staff, such as patient care technicians. And a few things about communication specifically with LEP patients, it often happens through bilingual staff or family members, which we all know is kind of a big no-no in the hospital setting, or even worse, guessing, just kind of signing what a patient might need. And there are also some very sad circumstances where LEP patients' requests were never really fulfilled because of this communication barrier. There were some limitations to our methodology. First of all, the accuracy of trying to coordinate the stopwatches between the four researchers was a bit difficult. And it was also hard to tell when a task was truly completed, just because providers tend to bounce around from task to task. So you start a task, they do something else, you don't know whether they're going to come back or when they come back, so that can be a little difficult to time. So just to reiterate our interim activities, we've been collecting system usage data as well as information on satisfaction from the patients with the system. So it looks like patients are definitely using the Starlink system. In the New York City Academic Hospital, in the past month, we've gotten about 200 requests. In the rehab unit, because there's a more controllable number of people that go through, we can see that there's about half the people that go through the unit use the system at least once, which is pretty awesome given the fact that the average age there is about 66 years old. So definitely an older adult population is able to adopt and use this device. Similar results in West Virginia. The average age there is actually a little higher, around 70 years old. And again, over half of their patients are using the system at least once. So we know that this is something that they can learn to use. What are patients asking for? The results after we implemented Starlink are about the same as at baseline. They're asking to go to the bathroom. They're asking for pain and pain meds. And depending on the unit, there are also other random things like getting an ice pack, getting out of bed, and breathing treatment for those with respiratory disorders, again, depending on the facility. So we don't have a quantitative information available about patient satisfaction today, but we do have some sound bites that we've been hearing consistently throughout the past month in the pilot. The patients really like that they can understand the icons on the system no matter what language they're speaking. So this is particularly helpful for families where, you know, maybe the younger generation is more comfortable with English and the older generation is more comfortable with a different language. So they can both use the system equally. Patients tend to really like the system because they know that the call bell is really loud and they don't want to disrupt their neighbors, which is nice. Starlink is also actually helpful for arthritis because if you have arthritis, pressing the call bell can be really painful. And since Starlink is a touchscreen on an iPad or on an Android device, it's pretty easy to just touch it without having to press anything really hard. And the patients are also noticing that the nurses come more quickly when they use Starlink because they know they're being timed on the back end. That is a little inconsistent with what we're finding with the Starlink system. The average response time has actually gone up a little bit, up about a minute and a half since we've implemented it. But it has only been a month. The providers are still trying to learn how to incorporate Starlink into their workflow. And actually, when we're out there on the floor, we can see that we can see that they're completing the task right away. In reality, they're just not marking it in the system. The RNs are completing most of the tasks, which is a bit inconsistent from what we're seeing at baseline. We think that that's because our higher skilled staff, more tech savvy, and a little more accountable for the patient's safety. Providers also tend to be satisfied with the system. They like that the mobile device enables them to take care of patients' needs between rooms. Starlink is really easy and intuitive, especially compared to the crazy EMR systems that they're trying to adopt right now, which is great, but also very complicated for them. It's nice to know what patients need before they get into the room so that they can work more efficiently. Obviously, it's great for LEP patients so that they can meet their needs very precisely. And one thing that one nurse said that I thought was very compelling was that in certain cultures, patients are a little more shy about expressing their needs to providers, especially in a language that's not the one that they're familiar with. So Starlink kind of empowers them to be a little more vocal about what they need. Like any health IT implementation, there has been challenges. Poor Wi-Fi connectivity. Starlink operates on Wi-Fi. That's how all the messages go back and forth. So when the Wi-Fi goes down, we do too. Provider engagement and accountability has been a bit difficult, especially when nursing management hasn't been on board from the very beginning. So that's a big lesson learned. And also incorporating Starlink into the provider's workflow day to day, like charging the devices, completing the tasks on the system, and educating patients has been hard. Conclusions, everyone can use the system. Starlink is very promising. And we will be further developing the system to better incorporate Starlink into nurses' workflow and enhance patient offerings, such as patient education and rounding and reminders for providers. And we'll be doing another larger scale study starting in January in Long Island. So stay tuned for results. Thank you very much.